Donna is a freelance information architect. She has incredible passion for the work that she does. She has an incredible depth of involvement in the industry in Australia, and we're really happy to get her across the ditch. She's a very well-traveled blog and has numerous speaking engagements. So many of them I couldn't keep track, but she's told me all of them. And she's currently writing a book on car sorting. So please welcome Donna Maurer, who's also sponsored by Govis. Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks everybody for coming again. That's great. So I don't need to go through this slide. We've already done that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to look at rich internet applications. So what I mean by a rich internet application is one that is different to the old, you know, static page-based model of the internet where you click a button and you wait for something to load and there's another page and you go to the, you hit a link and you go somewhere else. I'm looking at mostly Ajax JavaScript type interfaces where things happen to you on screen. But I'm not just going to look at them. What I want to do is really look at key usability attributes of those sort of applications. And these are things that, like, as a usability community, we know and we've known for a long time. But I don't see many bridges between, you know, the people who know about usability and the people who are building the applications necessarily. So I'm hoping to, you know, build that bridge somewhat. And some of this builds on an article I wrote for Digital Web Magazine earlier this year. On the same topic, so you can reference that later as well. So the slides will be available. This is going to be a bit of an odd one to look at later, though, because I'm going to look at a whole bunch of sites, but rather than, you know, play with them here, which can just be a bit risky, I've taken like screenshot movies of a whole bunch. Actually working. So on some of them, you're going to see me using them for the very first time, being a complete idiot as I use them. And for some, you know, they're things that I've been using for a long time. So to watch them later on is going to take a bucket load of bandwidth. So I want to first go through just some really key aspects of usability, and that will frame what we look at in the applications later on. So usability is often defined as being efficient, something that's efficient, effective and satisfying. So efficient being that you can do what you need to do in a perceived short amount of time, you know, happens quickly. Effective being that you can actually achieve what you need to do. And satisfying being that you enjoy the experience of doing whatever you're doing. So they've been in the definition of usability for years. It's often also important that an application is easy to learn. This isn't always the case, but for most of the stuff that we have on the web where people are primarily walk up and use, it's really important that they can get there, figure it out, and use it really quickly and use it easily. One of the main ways we can make sure that applications are easy to use is to use familiar controls on the screen. So that might mean that we use controls that are consistent with what other sites use, or controls that have some sort of connection to something in the real world. So sliders work actually really well because you've got a bottom and a top, and you know what to do with them in the real world. They make sense on screen. Knobs and dials, you know, those sort of things. We can work without having to think about them very much because they're familiar to us. Error is really important. And the three aspects of error management that need to be considered are: you need to be able to help people reduce errors in the first place. If they make an error, they need to be able to identify that it's occurred, and they need to be able to recover from that error. And if you're interested in error generally, I really like 37 Signals' book called Defensive Design for the Web, bright yellow thing, and it really effectively talks about avoiding and recovering from error. A good little thing with lots of little examples and things. Feedback is something that I think has been really missing from our web applications. We were able to build good feedback into GUI applications, but feedback on the web was, I'm going to hit a button and you're going to give me a page saying that you received my details. And I think this is one of the, feedback can really make or break an application, really help people feel like they're in control, they know what's happening, they know where things are up to, and it just, you know, gives them that sense of confidence that this is all okay. And so that relates to control as well. Control also might mean that people don't have to follow a linear process, that they can pick up something and work in a flexible way that suits them. And where the application effectively just gets out of the road, that it doesn't, it's not, you know, you're not working the application, you're doing what you want. So you have control over your situation. So I just want to also go do some, sorry, I'm just going to get some water, key human things. And these are, I'm only going to go through a few things, because there's masses of really interesting stuff about the way we work that affects how we design and affects how we use things. But I'm just going to focus on a couple that I'll highlight when I look at some of these examples. Visual perception is just so interesting. We use vision as our primary sense, and we have only a very limited amount of visual attention, vision that we can use. Visual attention is attracted by movement and contrast. So if you want somebody to look at something, you make it move and you make it sufficiently different to its background that you can see it. If you guys all walk out of here later on and stand in the crowd having a chat, see what your eyes are pulled away to, and it'll be stuff that is moving, other people moving around the room, or stuff that is a contrasting colour. Catches in your peripheral vision and pulls your eyes over there. Who went to Kathy Sierra's thing the other day? Remember she was talking about why TV is bad, and she said that TV is bad because it's always pulling your eyes away from what you're trying to do. It's always grabbing your brain and your brain's just going to look at it, and that's why it's a terrible thing to have it on the background. It's just, you know, you can't concentrate while there's a TV because there's this thing flickering and your eyes just are going to be drawn to it. Three-dimensional perception is also a really important one in vision. What our brain does is our brain says light comes from up here. It doesn't say light comes from the sky, it actually says light comes from the top of our head. So if you turn yourself upside down, your brain still assumes that light comes from the top of your head. This is why, it's a very funny thing, the brain doesn't work too hard. Just gets us by. That's okay, we get by, don't we? What it means for doing interfaces is that if light comes from the top of something and there's a shadow on the bottom of it that gives it dimensionality, and it says this is the top and this is the bottom, and that's how we can bring dimensionality into a flat interface effectively. I'm always so surprised at seeing interfaces that don't use dimensional buttons. You know, all you have to do is add some light on the top, shadow on the bottom, and it lets you in a flat palette figure out what things you can click on, because all of a sudden you've got these buttons. I've so often in usability tests on screens without, you know, shadow buttons, people just going, where on earth do I go here? Add some shadow and it just pops out. Oh, I've got some examples of that later. Another really important thing to remember about humans is that our memory is incredibly bad. We just have such a bad working memory. And we really need to consider this in interface design and never rely on anybody remembering something from one moment to the next. Something that people talk about a lot is making interfaces that are intuitive. And what they're usually asking for is interfaces that people don't have to think about. Intuition is where we build off our previous experiences. There is nothing that is inherently intuitive. Although Jared Spool has said a number of times that the only thing he thinks that is innate, which is where there's no learning necessary at all, is breastfeeding for the baby, on the baby's end, not on the mother's end. Everything else is learned, and everything else, if we want to make something intuitive, we have to know what people know and what they, you know, what their experiences already are in order to design something that they won't have to think about. Does that make sense? Yeah, you can't just make something intuitive unless you know what people know about. But yeah, it's always thrown around as, I just want to be intuitive. One last thing about errors, I just want to explain two types of errors that people make that are important for interface design. Slips are where you intended to do one thing and you did another. Like you go into the bathroom and you, I'll finish this sentence, I'll come back to you. I thought you had your hand up. I've got the light in my eyes and it's a bit squinty. So slip is when you go into the bathroom, you want to brush your hair, you pick up the toothbrush instead. That's a slip. You wanted to do one thing, your brain got muddled, you did another thing instead. Slips are really, as long as you can identify them, they're really usually easy to, they should be easy to recover from. Like you know that you're not going to do that with your toothbrush. A mistake is a different type of error that is when you intended to do what you did, but you didn't know that it was an error. And they're very hard to identify and very hard to recover from. Most of our interface mistakes, errors, are slips. You know, hitting the cancel button instead of the OK button because they were in a spot that you didn't expect them. That sort of thing. Hitting the delete button. Any questions about those sort of generally? Because now I'll get to the fun bit. So what I've got is just a bunch of examples of rich internet apps, things that I like, things that I don't like. But just, you know, small aspects of each that will highlight some of those principles. So let me just, get the right button. Backpack, here we go. Who uses Backpack? Yeah, or Basecamp? Yeah, all right. So the guys who built this were the ones who popularised the thing called the yellow fade technique. So I'll just play this clip. It's only a few seconds long. There I am adding a new item, typing it in, clicking add. You see it goes to the list and I can go back and do this again if you want. This seems really fast. As it goes back up to the screen, it has a yellow background. Oh, it didn't. There we go. Did you see that when it was back halfway through? I don't know if my QuickTime is just playing things a bit fast. Did you see it that time? Yeah? Yeah. So as it added, it highlighted in yellow on the background. What that does is allows your eye to break from where it's looking at, see that something has changed and identify the change. So it's just a tiny bit about visual perception. It just lets you know that, yeah, this has changed on the screen. The other neat things that were in there was that there's quite a good feedback showing that something's happening. It's just waiting to process it. It's got a little swirly thing. Then we go to... I'm going to do the easy ones first. Okay. This is just a really short one from Delicious. This. Here I go to delete. Do you want to delete it? Yes. Delete? No. The really good thing about what they've done there is they've made it really efficient. Like it's so efficient to delete. But they've also done the right thing with the visual placement in that you're about to click on it, you're clicking right there, they put the change right where your cursor is, which is right where your eyes are still looking. So you don't have to look somewhere else for the confirmation, which makes it really just, you know, fast. It's right in the right place. Does that make sense? Do you want me to do it one more time? Sure. Yep. I was going to do this, you know, I was going to do it live, and then I thought I'll end up like deleting half of my bookmarks or having to set up a whole lot of strange stuff. This next one is a site called, I guess it's pronounced probably like Serventas. It's a Portuguese version of Delicious. And somebody sent me this and asked if I'd have a look at it. This is going to be a bit hard to see on screen, so I'll explain it first. What happens with this is I'm going to add a URL, and there's a neat, like a really neat feature in this application where you type in a URL, it goes away, looks and sees if it has some metadata, and it displays the metadata on the screen, which is, you know, just sort of neat. You can, it's just there. I don't know that you do a whole lot with it, but it's there. So let's watch this. Here's me. I pasted a URL in there. And let me just stop. I'm going to go back a tiny bit there. You can see down the bottom, there's the type, I think, date and size are down the bottom. So it's pulled those out of the page. But what actually happened is just... No, that's I missed it again. There we've got a thing, oops, see, I'm going to keep missing it and stopping it. There's a bit that says analyzer. So it's saying analyzing, and then it goes through and adds it, and the stuff's there down the bottom. But it's in the wrong place on the screen. And the only reason I found it was because when he'd sent this to me, he said, we've got this neat thing that checks the metadata and shows it on the screen before you add it. And I went and added some stuff, and I just couldn't find this. And I finally realised it was just, well, it was, some of it's just below the fold, and then the progress indicator is in the wrong position because it wasn't where I was looking. I was looking where I'd put the URL. So it's all in the wrong place on the screen. So I did tell them about that. Let me just see if there was something else here that I want to tell you about. So fun watching me work. Oh, that's right. And then that was just sort of regular feedback to say, don't forget to put your title in. And a confirmation page. So nothing else particularly smart there. So it's mainly there that the where they put their feedback is in completely the wrong position. I really like... Who's seen this... new stuff from Gap that was released early last year, maybe mid last year, yeah?
Is it where you touch the fabric?
Touch the fabric? No? There's
a thing you can pull it on the fabric, and it moves like the fabric does.
Really?
When you're shopping.
Oh, I haven't done that. That would be neat. No, is this one. I'll show you this. So it's there with a quick look. I'll just go back and show the main bit of that again. So you're just hovering over it, pops up with a quick look box, you click on that, and the details come up straight away. So what's good about that is it's really, again, really efficient. It means that you don't have to click into it, go to another page, look at the trousers, go back, go in. And you can also, when you're at this point, you can explore it quite well. It does grey out what is unavailable. You can like choose a colour and it'll change, you know, the sizes and things that's available, change the prices. So it all makes it very efficient. And it was really easy to discover. There was no problem finding that was there. My mouse was there. It pops up with a quick look and it's just ready to go. I just wish that they would send stuff to Australia. We find next. Here's just a really neat little one from Sphere. Sphere is a blog search engine. Is that about right? Yep. I was playing around with it last week. So here, I'm just looking at the profile. Pops up right where you are. I'm just going right down the page on this and across. That's why it's going for you. Submit a blog, type it in, go. So what's nice about this one again is that, again, it's really efficient. Everything's just happening where you are. You're not going off to other forms to submit. And it uses colour and contrast really well. And there's no way that you can miss the fact that that's there. And the same with the earlier piece up with looking at the profile. You know, it's just the colour is right. You're going to see it. And because it's hidden behind links, we know how to click links already, so it was fairly easy to discover as well. I don't know. You know, you click on it and it happens and it's done. I haven't watched people use these things. This is just my opinion at the moment. I don't know. No, oh, sorry, I did mean to say at the beginning, I do not know any of the answers to about accessibility, and I don't know that many people do, so I'm not going to answer a question anyway about it. I'm talking about usability only, not accessibility, because I just don't know. And I was listening to Cameron Adams talk on podcast from a web standards group in Melbourne maybe a month or so back. And even he said, you know, nobody knows. So, pardon? No, I'm sure it doesn't, but nobody knows what the answer is either. Like, I know it doesn't work. Yeah. Nobody knows the answer, so I'm not going to try to answer it because I certainly don't know. All right, let's look at Sphere. Did Sphere, didn't I? Odeo. Odeo is a, well, they started off as a like a podcast directory, and now they're moving more into letting you record in the service as well. It's bright pink. So, and I really like the interface, but I hate the service because I can never find anything. But again, it's really efficient. You want to subscribe to something, you click on the magic pink button and it just you know, goes there. I'll show you something here. There's something funny in this one in a minute. You can take them out of your inbox. Adding it into your inbox tells you straight away that you've done it. You can delete some tags. This is where I'm going, fuck. I just deleted some tags. I at least thought it would stop me from doing that. I just thought I'd click on it and it just disappeared. So at least the second time I did it, I deleted a really bizarre one. I did go back in and add them in later. But that was that big gap in the recording, me going, oh man, that shouldn't have happened. But I do like how they give really fast feedback. Oh, people would delete things by accident really easily. I was just mucking around with the interface.
You know, that's where like Wikipedia's, or engines like Wikipedia that you go back and have a whole audit trail.
Yeah.
Are really nice. It actually doesn't delete it.
Yeah, they should have trapped that somehow. You know, it might still be there. I can't even figure out the model whether I've just deleted somebody else's stuff, because it certainly wasn't my stuff. That's right. Are you sure you want to delete the music tag? Yeah, and they do it so neatly everywhere else, like adding it, and they give you good feedback, and when you go to log in, you just click it and the little blogging box comes up. So it would be really easy to add it. Yeah. Sure you want to do this? Or even like Delicious did. Sure? Anyway, I thought that was a bit funny. But, you know, I had a recording of it, so I knew what I'd done. Let's have a look. Extra Tasty. This is one of my... I really like this site. But, yeah, it's because I quite like a drink. I joined up to this site probably the first day it launched. And as a community contributed site, there wasn't much content there. So then I disappeared and didn't use it for ages. And they've made a whole bunch of changes. So I'm going to show you two clips. One is from the functionality they had at very first, and one is some new stuff. And the new stuff works much better than the older stuff, even though old is only like a couple of months. So there's some good and bad in this. What it is you can you actually record everything that you have in your bar, and then you can find recipes based on what's in your bar. Like, how cool is that? very sad, isn't it? I should just drink the vodka straight. Okay, so let's see what I was doing here. So rating, it was easy. I just clicked on the stars. I liked that. It said view drink measurement options and filled in the bottom of the page with these measurement options. I changed it to metric really easily. I just flipped it. All the time I can see what's happening because it's just happening in front of my eyes. And then I could choose like how big a drink I wanted. And it adjusted the measurements, which I thought that was pretty cool. I'm not going to go for that bowl though. That looked a bit scary. 3,776 mil of a chocolate martini. And a vodka stinger. Oh, this is a mint one. So I added it to my recipe book and it showed me there straight away that I had, and I can add some tags to it. And the tag appears straight away, so it's all there. It's all just neatly in the interface. So there's a bunch of good things there. Again, it was efficient. It was all there. Everything just happened. The things happened where I was looking, so it happened in the right spot. It worked quickly, gave me good feedback. All up, that was quite efficient little process of even just, you know, mucking around with it. The only thing that I thought could be better with this is, like I mentioned before about the, making buttons, giving buttons shadows. Because things like the recipe book link up the top and the view drink measurement options, it's a little hard to figure out what on here you can click on. Ratings are usually pretty clear, links look clear, but the buttons aren't very clear because they're just flat. But otherwise that worked out pretty well. Let's find the other one. There's the other. This is the second one. This is the part where you add all the ingredients that you have in your bar. I'm exposing a bit much, aren't I? So there, what did I do? I deleted something. I'll go back to a couple of these bits. I added orange juice. I deleted blue curacao, and then I decided I was going to add it back in. This is where everything went pear-shaped. Fuck, start again. And this is really what it was like for me. Okay, I think I got it that time. I actually realised when I went back and had a look at this, so we'll wander back through this one. So what happened when I deleted something is they used the yellow fade technique just like I showed in the first backpack example, but it was really fast. This didn't give me any lead time, like no warning. It was just too fast. I just didn't see it. Just, and it was gone. So that was really quick. Done. Same when I added. It was really fast. That just needs to be a bit longer, so I have the chance to go from where my eye is looking with the orange juice link to over here where they give me the feedback. You know, it was just too short. Then when I started doing this, it was clunky. So I started typing and the type ahead was clunky. I didn't expect that it was going to show me, like as I typed, a list of matches. So I didn't know that was going to happen. So it's okay once you know it's going to happen. But, Oh, yeah, like who reads? I'm showing you like just a real user experience. And no, I didn't read it. So, yeah, it does say that, doesn't it? Never noticed.
And it's only because of the instant replay that anybody actually saw that.
Quite possibly. Oh, look, you might have seen it. That's okay. I didn't as I was doing it. So it was what was happening through here was it was jumping around all over the place. So I misspelled it. I went back. I went, oh, what's going on here? It actually added itself. See, let me just stop there. I had actually caught it You can see there it's added down in the list of boos. But I didn't think that I'd actually caught it with my mouse, which is why I went through this process to, you know, keep trying to add it, because I didn't see it add. And then the other thing that was happening just there is I was trying to select it, and I mean, this is probably just a technical thing, but I just wanted a little finger to show me that I could click on this thing rather than my cursor, which is a thing about like a clue that it's editable. So I couldn't quite figure out how I was going to click on it, which is why I just went, pardon? It's easy to fix? Oh, good, I thought you meant it's easy to do. Because it's obviously not. Yeah, so that was just, like, this was just clumsy. The feedback was too quick. And this type ahead was clunky and wasn't really keeping up with me well, and I wasn't keeping up with it well, and I didn't see it happening. And it worked out in the end. But, you know, it was all a bit not so great. No, I wouldn't want to have a couple of drinks to do that. I'm just going to go fill up my bar. What else can I drink? But it's a really neat site. I really do like it. So now I'm getting onto the things that I don't like so much. Oh, here we go. Google Reader is about one of my least favourite applications on the web. And I mentioned this in the digital web article. And I still haven't quite figured out why I hate it. But I'll just run this and show you. I was just in doing this, just clicking around some of the things in my RSS list. And it's not like it works. You click on things, the list goes up, it shows it in the other pane. It works quickly, which is a great thing. Like, it is actually really fast. The thing that you can't see is just below. There's a where they're up the top. There's top, up, down, and stuff. That's at the bottom of that side pane as well. I just didn't clip it properly. I was trying to get that arrow. How can I click the arrow? I have to click the link. So I thought I'll filter in to just a particular topic. Click around a bit more. I clicked on the starred items, then I clicked on my red items, and I clicked on the starred items again. Don't know why I did that. I think I was trying to figure out what the hell was going on. And then I hit the back button because I wanted to go back to red items. And, of course, the back button threw me right out, so I had to go back in. So I think what I really dislike about this, I know that I have probably, like, 200 unread RSS items, but I can only see them in this tiny little bit at a time. So I can't see the scope. I have no control over... I have little control over what I'm doing because I can't go, oh, well, I want to read so-and-so's, then I want to skip around and like I would in my normal reader. So, you know, there's not as much control as I'd like. The top navigation items, the home, red, starred, they feel to me like they're pages. So they feel to me like I can hit the back button and go to the previous one. So I do, and of course I hit the back button and I flip right out. I do that all the time. The first time I used this, I did it so often that it just made me so mad. I just decided not to use it anymore. I don't know. I just don't like it. But there, you know, then there are some genuine usability problems. All right, what else have we got? So Kayak, have you guys come across this one? Anybody? Yeah? God, I hope nobody's been involved in developing any of these. Kayak is an online booking site. You can book and compare a whole lot of flights, hotels, and things. So I was playing around with this, and this is only a play, but this, you can actually see me using it for the very first time. I'd never used it before. I actually screen captured it. So typed in Canberra because I wanted to go from Canberra, which is where I live, or near where I live, to Melbourne. Now, the type ahead on that worked pretty well. I didn't have a problem with it. it kept up with my pace. I could see that it was there. So that was actually really, really easy to select. I'm just setting the dates. And go. So yeah, the rest of that was all fine. This is a bit bizarre. As it's going through, it's got a good progress indicator up the top, so it's telling you where it's up to, which is a really good thing. It's a great thing, gives you really good feedback. What it's also doing though is this bizarre thing with the letters. I said before that visual attention is captured by movement and contrast. So those things just make me look at them, which I don't want to look at those bizarre letters going like this. And of course, I couldn't figure out what the hell was going on. Of course, I wasn't paying any attention to the other side because these letters are flicking in front of my face. All right, so now I was talking to you and I wasn't paying attention to what happened there. Oh, so, okay, the progress indicator jumps from that much done to completely done. So it actually wasn't showing me progress at all. Let me just go back a bit there. Okay, so there we go. And then I've got results. So that's a great thing. Oh, no, it's still loading them. There we go. So that's my results on one side. This is just me poking around looking at it. Oh, look, a slider. I know, just loose sliders, I slide them. Look, I can slide my ending time. And I could tell that it was filtering and changing them in the middle. That was great. It was a bit odd that I had this slider, but the labels are on the end points. So I'd slid it to say reduce, but the labels were still out there, which just was a bit of a strange position because I want the labels with the slider probably. And you know, midnight to midnight on the ends of my slider that represents a whole period. So that was a bit like, oh, I'm not sure what's going on here. I sort of figured it out. I'm still playing with it because I'm still trying to figure it out. And it reset it. Oh, I didn't want to do that. Went back there. Oh, needed to reset what I'd selected before. So I didn't manage my errors very well. So I'm just poking around. Okay, so I'll show you that last little bizarre bit again because it was very bizarre for me. So I finished poking around and I decided I was just going to have a look at a flight. So I looked at this flight. I've stopped it now. It expanded this out, flip, which is pretty good. Did it in the right spot. Used some colour to give it contrast. It went so fast that I couldn't see it. I go, blip, blip, straight away. Oh, bugger. Hang on, let me go back to the end of that. So then here we are. This really annoyed me. I'd clicked on a Qantas flight to flip something up that I didn't see. I went to this page, and then it tells me that I have to enter my search again on Qantas. So in a real experience, I just would have gone, no way. But so there were a few odd things in there. The type ahead at the beginning was good. It worked pretty well. The progress indicator, if it was actually progress and it was actually a percentage, would have been a good thing. The flicky names was just visually distracting. And things disappearing and reappearing all over the page was, you know, I didn't know what to look at. Sliders are good. Like the sliders, you know, apart from me thinking that the end points were a bit weird, were good. I mean, I really could pick up the slider and move it along and I knew what was happening. I knew I was narrowing my period down. That's good. Five? On the slider.
Yeah.
It changed on the endpoints.
It did.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good. Interesting you didn't notice that. Yeah. The endpoints actually changed, which is why I said that felt a bit weird because endpoints should be endpoints. No, the endpoints were changing. And I won't go back to it because I want to show you one more example. And I've got 5 minutes. I think I've got 3 minutes. But, you know, I have to back Microsoft. I can't leave here without saying something bad about Microsoft. So this is Windows Live, and This is a bit of a bizarre sort of thing. This first wouldn't work in Firefox, so I had to do it in IE. So that didn't put me in a very good mood. So first, actually, what happened just a second ago, right back there, I hit that to refresh and nothing appeared to happen. So then I went to this little funny icon that says and changed the number of headlines. That looked okay. I could tell that there were more of them. That's good. It actually gave quite good visual feedback with the icon that I could move something, that little X thing. I pretty much knew I could move stuff around. That was good. Did a bizarre thing, you know. That's the thing at the top looks like a search box. I don't know why they had to colour it in green around the edges. I sort of knew that it was a search box. I knew that I'd clicked in there. Here's the bizarre bit. They've got this funny slider. So, okay, I know about sliders. I know you can slide them. Couldn't figure out what was going on. What I was doing there was hovering over the little the side of it to try and see if there was a tooltip or something that was telling me what was going on with it. I was going, I don't know. Can you see me thinking, what the hell's this? Oh, I don't know about this. And then, so I started scrolling down. There's no end to this. Like, it's not like Google where you've got a page of stuff and then you've got another page. This just goes forever. What did I do there? Just keeps going. So that was a bit weird. But they had improved it from the very first version I saw, like on day of release, which instead of having something that looked like a scroll bar, I'll just go back there. Instead of having a scrolly bar thing, they had a grey line down the page with a box in the middle of it, sitting in the middle of the page. And if you bounced the box down, you went down. And if you bounced it up, you went up. But it was a really weird thing to control. I think they got a lot of bad feedback on that and changed it into something a bit more intuitive. Then the other strange thing that happened here was right at the end here, I thought, oh, look, there's this X button. I'll just see what happens. And it threw me back to the home page, which was the strangest way of going back to the previous page that I'd ever come across. So things there that actually, you know, that in theory are right as well. There was no feedback on refresh in the very first part. The options, you know, when it popped up a little box, that was good, but it could have had better colour contrast. It was way back here, white on white. So it wasn't, you know, I could see it, but it wasn't great compared to the big fat blue ones elsewhere. The search results were different in IE and Firefox, which really made me cross as well. The not having pagination felt weird. I'm sure that people will get over that in time, but just, you know, it's just not similar to other things. And closing the window, that was a very strange thing. I do also have like a 10-minute clip from Backbase of all sorts of bizarre stuff, but we won't get to do that. And I didn't write notes for it because it's all bizarre. I'll stick it up with the slides and you can just watch me muck around with some terrible things. So sorry, I've run right on time. We can probably do a couple of quick questions while you pack your bags and things, and then you can ask me stuff later. Is that all right? And no questions? Yeah? No? What sounds like Picasso, sorry? I looked at it once and I didn't look at it again. The bouncy thing. Yeah, that's interesting. All right, thank you very much, guys.